Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Red Men Radio, the Liverpool podcast. This week brought to you in association with conquering all of Europe. Well, you know, the part of Europe that is Manchester. It was good fun. Chris Pajak joins me to discuss it. We've cobbled this podcast a little bit together more than normal, so the normal structure's gone out the window because, let's be honest, Chris.
Structure.
Well, no, we do have it. We do. I know. Look, normally, and people watching on the YouTube channel, I always have bits of paper in front of me. Normally, I have it structured out what goes where. There are 10 loosely scribbled points from the Liverpool Man City
and we may not even have 10 points because I'm not sure you can read all of them.
I can just about read them all. I think we're okay. But yeah, we could have done the normal podcast, but look, because that game last night, that tie overall, it's the biggest thing happening in the world and not just in Liverpool. It would be remiss of us not to talk about it. And to be honest,
I'm not ready to talk about anything else. Exactly. I want to talk about Man City. I want to talk about Liverpool besting them. I want to talk about Jurgen Klopp outsmarting Pep Guardiola. I want to talk more about Robertson, Trent, Lovren, Van Dijk. I want to talk about all of them.
Yeah, so those of you who've already watched or listened to the Final Words show, consider this a companion piece to it. We did the best part of an hour reviewing the game, four of us in the studio on the normal couches. We got to the end and I was like, what about? We didn't talk about this. So this is where we talk about all the other bits and pieces. So if you're wondering why we're talking about some of the more random moments of the game, we have done it in a lot more depth and detail. And Chris has done the statistical and tactical analysis of the game as well. It's on the website. So if you need more, there's more. There's always more. Because why wouldn't there be? The point that you wanted to kick this off with, Chris, was the, and I use your wording on this, the bastardry of Liverpool. Before we do though, can I just apologise to everyone? I'm a touch hoarse today. I don't know if it's got on. We'll press through.
I thought you were going to say something else then. I thought you were going to say I'm a touch horny today. And I didn't know where that was
today,
going,
Chris.
To be honest with you, mate.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't need to vocalise that. It just is what it is.
I thought the table was on a slant.
So yeah, the bastardry of Liverpool. We've bemoaned that this side's a bit too nice at times. And I think there are occasions in that game where maybe we were a bit too nice. A good example of this being Sadio Mane gets pushed by Edison four times. If at any time during that he crumples to the floor holding his face, I think Edison gets a red card. Mm. I think we were bastards the way that, to some extent, like, I'm wary of saying this out loud, but I'm going to do it anyway. Top quality mid-90s Man United had a bit of this, and it's the kicking people behind the ref's back. Virgil van Dijk in particular had a little bit of this,
mate.
But we were in general terms, I think we were nastier where we needed to be.
Yeah, we were, and we took advantage of everything that we could do. You know, there's a couple of minutes into the game and we're time wasting. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And you're thinking to yourself, this isn't the Liverpool that we've seen so far this season.
This is the West Brom we've been watching for 15 years come to Anfield.
And Palace, and Watford, yes, and West Ham, and Stoke. Yeah, name all of them. They're all exactly the same. And we took a little bit of that and used that against Manchester City. And not only did it frustrate them, it frustrated the crowd as well. And we used it to our advantage. And we didn't let the crowd booing and hissing get on top of us. Yeah. You know, Trent Alexander-Arnold typified that for me when he was messing around with the ball on the wing.
Chris, we'll talk about the goalkeeper bit in a second, but we were booting the ball into the stands at every given opportunity, and then the ball boys cottoned on, so they started this quick change thing. So what did we do? Trent started saying the ball's flat. Basically, Trent goes, well, okay, give me the ball back there quickly. I'm not quite sure about this referee. I think this one's not quite regulation PSI. And so it forces another change. Then they can't find the spare ball. Brilliant.
And then he's 10 yards further down the pitch as well.
Amazing.
And then he takes a throw, and it's crap, by the way. But it's fine. We lost the ball and we were under the cosh again.
I love Trent Alexander-Arnold, and he has been almost the consummate right-back in this, over this tie. He is shit at taking throw-ins. There's one thing, Jürgen, if you're watching. And look, I know they're not a massive thing, and I know you very rarely get called up for foul throws as well. He did get called up for two against Crystal Palace. Just make Trent practice his throw-ins just a little bit. I'm just saying, it's the only flaw in his otherwise immaculate performance.
But everybody was at it, weren't they? You mentioned the Virgil van Dijk one. He literally whipped up Raheem Sterling as he walked past him with a little back heel.
Cheeky,
it was class.
This is what I'm talking about. He doesn't do it in front of him. It is, he just puts a little heel out there. Sterling goes down. Sterling loses his shit.
Sterling's lucky, Paul. He's lucky that he runs with his arms in front of him, because otherwise he's landing flat on his face.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Whoop, whoop.
Oh, lucky God. They're right there anyway, mate.
Broken nose, Chris. No, it was. It was that bit from Virgil I thought was outstanding. I saw Andy Robertson kick the ball 40 yards back to our goalkeeper about 20 seconds after the whistle had blown for it. Well, whatever it was a free kick or a throw-in or whatever. And just fantastic. The one I want to single out for this, and we'll talk about it, his performance in general, actually, Loris Karius. Haven't really talked about him at all since the end of the game, but we remarked during the game, from minute one until minute, what it was, 92, 93 or whatever, he took every possible second out of the game.
He absolutely
that he
took the piss. Yeah. He did. And it was those, you know, the ones, I mean, you pointed that out during the game, so I'll let you talk about what happened every time he picked the ball up. But the goal kicks, moving it to the other side. Yep. You know, we've seen those tricks. That's a Wayne Hennessy trick, isn't it? Yep. We've seen them all the time.
Ben Foster literally lives for that shit.
Yeah, he does. And you know what? Fine. And if the ball's near him, he's waiting for a ball boy to pick it up and pass it to him. And all the lads did that. Yeah. Like, the Ashley Cole one. Was it Ashley Cole?
Ashley
did it
Cole
against us
in,
with the throw
in the Chelsea game, yeah.
Where it hit him and it bounced off him. Trent did that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It come off his thigh and rolls down the hill. And then he stood there waiting for a ball to be passed to him, because the ball boys are dead quick when Manchester City there. So you can understand that he'd want the ball thrown past to him as well. Like.
No, I completely agree on that. And we took so much time out of that football match in the first half. And here's the thing, and I think it's actually almost the story of this game, and it's why there's mass hypocrisy in football, because I'm here today. I've dragged myself on minimal sleep and no voice into the office because I love it. But I am seeing the Man City reaction to it, and them cry arsing about the referee and all that, you know, and still going on about coach greetings and all that kind of shite. If the roles were reversed in a lot of the things in this game, I would probably be raging too, because I've raged on goalkeepers doing the stuff that Loris Karius was doing, by the way, time and time again, because you're dead right. I've seen so many teams rock up to Anfield and they're just playing to not get battered or playing for a draw or whatever. And I've seen them, goalkeepers, take every possible moment to just take the time of a goal kick, move it, stop it, tap your feet together, go and check your posts.
Do you think Man City were expecting it?
No, I genuinely, and because, and to be fair, Jürgen's a little bit like this to some extent, but I think managers who have like the lofty ambitions for how the game should be played or whatever, still confounded when people do this. And like I say, I think Jürgen's felt it. But what's telling, and I think what's amazing about Jürgen and Buvac and co, is I can see he has adapted to the English game spectacularly well, and I think he is. I can see shades of our performance that they have picked up along the way. Like they've. It's like cobbled together robotic bodies of the good robotic Bill and Ted from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Like they've just found bits along the way, along their journey. They're picking stuff up and they're bolting it on, and it's like tell your goalkeeper to take ages on his goal kicks. It's like boot things into touch. Do all this stuff. You know, when quick counter attacks picked that up from Leicester along the way, picked this up from this and that. And that's why I love it, because we can't, unfortunately, have a... We can't do what City do, really, in the same way. Not far off, but maybe we choose not to. But he always talked about that, like dragging people down to his level, and it is all about the bits and pieces thing. So Pep Guardiola will have fucking hated that, and it makes me.
That's why he was so enraged at the end of the first half, isn't it? Because
the referee was shite.
Well, the referee blows up on 45, and yet how much stuff happened in that first half, you know what I mean?
It shows.
The Sadio Mane, Otamendi stuff happened in the first half, didn't it? How long did that take? Otamendi's on the floor, the flat ball, all of it happened in the first half, and yet we played 45 minutes. And that referee was an absolute joke, he really was. I mean, I don't know what he was doing, I've got no idea, but he was a joke for both teams. Well, it wasn't just for us,
exactly.
He was just the joke. There was no bias in his performance in any way, shape or form. The guy just isn't very good at his job.
No, I know, that's it. There's an enjoyable buffoonery to it all, which I take away. You're right, is that it could have gone either way. I mean, just unfortunately from the City perspective, that the bigger moments in the game didn't go their way because of him, understandably. And I think, look, again, we didn't talk about it on the final word at all, but the Pep Guardiola stuff, him getting sent off, dickhead. Absolute dickhead. You know, he's. I just think he's lost his head in this tie. You know, we talked a little bit. I was a bit critical of his tactical and team selection, because I think he went too big too soon. But I think it all fed into it. I think their entire game plan was built around getting the job done in the first 45 minutes. And when it didn't go his way in the first 45 minutes, he lost his head.
I can understand why he did.
No, absolutely.
But he's the manager of Manchester City in the Champions League quarterfinals. So me on the street sitting here talking to you about it, who can understand? That's not what you want. Do you know what I mean? You want an elite manager to be able to take his... to look around, realise where he is and realise that he's got to adapt and change. And he wasn't able to do that. He let the emotions get the better of him. And he let the emotions get the better of him, Paul, because Klopp keeps getting the better of him.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why he was so fucking annoyed.
Absolutely. And you could see it just in City's mentality. This last week, their heads have gone big time. And they're all going hand in hand, from the crowd to the players to the manager. You're right, you can't afford to do that. What I love... And again, it's easy because history is written by the victors. Jürgen Klopp talking post-match, and he said, like, look, going a goal down so early, he basically, as I said, look, it's not cool, it's not what you want, it's not what you plan for, but it's fine, because it happens in football. You don't go to pieces when that happens. You've got to go. You just got to go, that's the situation I'm in now. There's no point lamenting it.
You can't do anything about it.
Exactly.
The goal's in.
Exactly.
You've taken a kick-off.
And the difference between sides often is how they react to the failures. Sometimes it's, you know, you might get a week to prepare between failures, but the truly great sides can adapt within the match. The truly great players, and I think we've built a squad with a fantastically strong mentality. I think about players that Liverpool have had in the past who haven't had that. I don't think, and I've been a bit mean to Simon Mignolet over the years. I think, look, I like Mignolet. I think he's fine, and I think he'll go on to he'll have a long career, and he'll be fine, won't he? But I think Karius has got a bit more of the Pepe Reina's about him in that regard. I think he's arrogant enough to not be asked. Like, I don't think he bothered him.
Short term memory loss.
Well, exactly.
I think that's what you need as a goalkeeper.
Selective memory.
Yeah, I made a mistake. I forget it. And that's what you want.
I played for some horrendous football teams in my day where we used to concede goals in double figures, because we were just, it was just, I can't even put into words. It's just horrendously bad. I am terrible at remembering football scores. Maybe that's a defence mechanism, but part of it, because there was no use to me. Knowing the score as a goalkeeper is a useless fact, because it shouldn't impact your performance other than whether you're looking to time waste or whether you're not looking to time waste. And that's when you look at, like, the genuinely elite players have the ability to go, oh well, fuck, never mind. What's the focus? And particularly for this game, the focus remained the same whether we were one goal down, whether we were two goals down, to be honest, whether we were three goals down, because the crux of that game was always going to lie in our ability to stick one in the back of their net. I think it would have been mental, and I'm glad. It felt like our game plan after half an hour was simply to cling on for 90 minutes, which worried me tremendously. But you know, we knew what the game plan was.
Just going back to you mentioned the mentality of this side and how strong you think it is, and I think about the ups and downs of Liverpool's season, you know, and the losses along the way, and Phil Coutinho and obviously bringing Virgil van Dijk, and I'm trying to kind of compare it to Manchester City, and they had about 10 months, even going back to the last season, where the losses that they took never meant anything. Yeah. You know what I mean? They had one a few weeks ago in the FA Cup, which did mean something, in fairness. But they had about 10 months where they were incredible. And I wonder whether this side got a little bit overconfident and they've not had to bounce back in the same way, because they've not had those debilitating losses like Liverpool have had. Yeah. And we've come back from it stronger. And what you've seen now in this last week is they haven't been able to come back from the loss. Three losses on the bounce for that team and that squad and that manager and that side isn't good enough. But I wonder whether if they'd had a few more tougher games that they have to sort of fight through, or a big loss to it, like a Tottenham, or like, you know, the way City beat us, does that squad learn from it? Does it get better because of it? Have they had it too easy for too long?
They've been the victims of their own success to some extent, because you're right, as they just stormed this league. It makes you wonder, and I think, you know, let's take that point as true for the sake of the conversation. I think it harps back to that game between us and them at the Etihad, and I think them so categorically smashing us off the park was a big turning point in terms of the conference. I think they will have looked at us as one of their biggest, if not their biggest, rivals this season. And to win it so comprehensively, I think they lost a bit of the context. They will have, because it's not their job to see the context of that game. Like, we're talking about elite mentality. It's not their job to think, well, if Manny stayed on the pitch, we might have lost that. That's not how you think. That's not a winning mentality to think that way, is it? So I think they have. I think they've. You're right. I totally agree.
I think about, you know, for my opinion, the greatest tennis player of all time, Roger Federer, the absolute battles that he's been in down the years, and Nadal's one of the best ever, the battles that they've been in, and that's what makes them great, is to be able to come through these five set matches and go down by, you know, 2-0 and come back and win these games. Yeah. Manchester City haven't had that. They've gone a goal up, they've gone 2 goals up, they've gone 3 goals up, they've gone 4 goals up, and they've won.
Yeah, and is it because no one's had the bollocks to take it to them, and the teams that have taken it to them this season have gotten something out of it? And it's mad how, just to spin it back to last weekend, and we talked a lot about Jose Mourinho has basically set up blueprints for how to ruin Liverpool's season for a number of years. Like, you know, that the whole park the bus kind of thing, like, always seems to come at a time where Liverpool have got a really great way of playing, and he comes along and goes, yeah, no, this is how you stop them, everyone. Don't be buying into this bollocks. Here's how you stop Liverpool. Fuck off, Jose. But he went to the Etihad, and for the first time he took our blueprints and went, well, this isn't working, right? I'm just gonna try and go for it. And if the team that everyone's been maligning, and unfairly so, because Man United have got some tremendous attacking talent in that team, but if that the team that everyone's been saying can't play attacking football and plays really boring football can pour it on against that, then it just opened the floodgates, didn't it? And I said I couldn't see City losing 3 games in a week.
Now you can see 4.
Absolutely, and. Have we even lost back-to-back games under Jurgen Klopp? You know, we certainly haven't lost three back-to-back. I'm not sure that we have. But the please, if we have, do I mean feel
I,
you know?
I think the stat is
caps lock, and basically just finger shout at me with the example where I'm wrong. That's basically what YouTube comments is for.
I've got a feeling, I've heard this one before, and it's he hasn't lost back-to-back Premier League games, is Klopp's one. Now, I can't remember the losses, so I'm assuming the fact that I remember with the words Premier League, it means he might have in different competitions.
Okay.
But sure. I shouldn't have said nothing, because now you're all going to correct me instead. So engage caps lock and yeah, do the puppet thing.
Do the puppet thing. Do the YouTube puppet dance. I loved it so much. And what was great about it is that, like, the Pep thing obviously had no impact on us. And it was just a nice little spark. Oh, Pep, have you messaged Cody? Pep Guardiola's been sent off.
Has he? What for?
Amazing. Absolutely.
Losing his shit, sounds.
He did. And you know what? What's mad? I want to talk about Raheem Sterling. We've been saying, look, since he left the club, I'm going to put this out there once again. I think Raheem Sterling's a tremendous footballer.
Yeah,
I think he's great. Yeah. And as much as I've got no great love for England, I would really like him to turn up in the World Cup. I'd like him to be England's best player because I think England could do. I like the fact that everyone hates Gareth Southgate, and even the most vocal of England biffs isn't bought into it. I feel like becoming a bit like. You know me, I don't like cool things. I like things when everyone says something's uncool. That's when I start to like it. So I wouldn't mind him turning on at the World Cup. We've been saying he's due a performance. I think he put that performance in.
I thought he was brilliant last night. I think it was in every sort of facet of his game. You know, obviously he gets an assist early on because of Van Dijk, but he puts him under pressure initially to force the mistake, doesn't he? But, you know, winning the ball back, sliding it, almost Bobby Firmino in the way that he was attacking our players who were running forward from behind. And he, like, Lallana's great at this, or was great at this, is that little jump to get in front of the man and just get your body in front and then you're sort of pulled down.
Yeah.
He was doing that. He was everywhere. He was playing as a 10, but up front, not the 10 that we've come to know, behind the striker. And I just thought he was brilliant, and Liverpool really struggled to deal with him, certainly first half. It felt like he was trying to prove a point to Pep Guardiola about last week.
Yeah,
is what it felt like.
Yeah,
not absolutely. To Liverpool, which is interesting. In
no, I'm fair play. And yeah, he did all the things that you meant to do. The things that people absolutely detest Dele Alli for. You know, he was a snide. He was, you know, he was just trying to. He was doing all the dark arts stuff as well. But he was putting a shift in and all that. The real great thing about that is that he's finally turned up in one of these games, and they got beat anyway.
Yeah, 5-1
on aggregate.
Yeah,
it's nice
interestingly, I can't think that he had a shot though. I can't think of one effort that he had. He did a lot of his work deeper, didn't he? Mm. Sort of looking to bring players in, and you know he's been on fire this season. Obviously, he missed a few chances against Manchester United because he thinks the goal's about 6 foot bigger than it is. It is what it is. Like, and yeah. He's a good player, man, and he'll be one of the best players in the world in a couple of years.
When we were talking about Karius before, I forgot to mention the thing that I really liked about Karius' performance. You teed it up, and then I never took the opportunity.
Because you don't like cool things when they're presented with you. You want to wait until they're not cool.
I can't help myself. It was the fact, for a start, how aerially dominant he was. Now he gets himself into a little bit of bother with the punch that leads to the offside goal. how many times he claimed stuff to completely just negate the situation, take all the pressure off and give us a real lift. But what did he do every single time that he claimed the ball in the air?
He fell on the floor with it.
Lawrence, can we have a round of applause for Lawrence Karius? Lawrence, take a bow, mate. Take a bow. Fantastic. Love it. Absolutely love it. It's just that, just to take it and then the slow motion into the chest, down on the knees,
crumple.
Down on your front, safe as houses. It's my ball. You can count to five all you want, ref, but no referee in the world is going to count 5 or 6 seconds when you're on the floor for 5 or 6 seconds. It's them five plus the other 5 to 10 that you get with the ball in your hands. Magnificent, magnificent, snide goalkeeping from Lawrence Karius, in addition to all the goal kick stuff. I absolutely love that. Loved it so very, very, very much. What did you think? What were your true highlights of the night? It doesn't necessarily need to be goals or whatever. Is there anything that really?
You kidding me? It's the goals.
It's the goals.
Of course, it's the goals, Paul. I mean, it's Mo Salah. It's Mo Salah sitting Otamendi down and chipping it over him. It's Mo Salah being there to pick up the pieces of what should have been a pen that wasn't going to be called a pen. It's Roberto Firmino nicking the ball off Otamendi and then literally getting his snooker cue out and placing one in the corner pocket. Like, that's what he did. And of course, it's the goals. Of course, it's the atmosphere. It was, you know, we talked about this last week about the atmosphere at Anfield and how I like the atmosphere at Dortmund more for the way that you go and win the game. And there's nothing sweeter than being so nervous and so het up for 45 minutes and under the cosh to come back and win a game of football like that. So the atmosphere was like, if we'd have scored the first goal, it would have been great.
Yeah.
But because we conceded the first goal, our first goal, the reaction was so much better.
Yeah.
because it would have been like, yeah, we're done.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, but I completely agree with
to
that.
To be nervous, to think, you know, this could happen. Shit, what am I witnessing here? These lads need to stand up and then get the goal.
You know what it was? We talked a bit about this in the build-up, about, like, the doing things the hard way, the Liverpool. We've been saying this for years, because there's, I have this theory that there's, if you're over the certain age, if you're over the age of 40 or mid-30s, or yeah, 40 is probably the age now, because we're mid-30s and I don't fall into this category. Over the age of 40, your Liverpool way is just to be boss and just win things. Just be dead good and win things. Of our generation, which is like mid-30s to sort of mid-20s or maybe whatever, it's the... You turn up and win things, but you, my God...
they make you work for it.
They make you work for it. So it's like, it goes all the way back to, for me, it goes all the way back to the UEFA Cup final and having to win it with an own golden goal to take us through it. Absolute agony of all that. You know, that's over. Winning the League Cup on penalties, the Arsenal game, being battered off the pitch by Arsenal and to come back and win it. So, and that set the kind of tone for his. Whereas the Liverpool, I think, if your age between like maybe 20 to whatever younger, Liverpool just go out, make it dead difficult and then completely catastrophically fuck it up at the end. Yeah. This was on the scale of things from glorious Liverpool to glorious failure Liverpool. It was near the middle, but I think it was more towards glorious Liverpool of centre in this regard, because we did make it difficult. That first half was absolutely unbearable. It was unbearable. I have no idea how I managed to sing as much as I did. It was just it was an involuntary reflex, and Alele is very simple to sing as well. But the fact that, we had that, it added to the drama. The fact that basically we turned up in the second half and the fact that we won the game is... Liverpool of even 10 years ago might have left that till like the 89th minute.
Yeah.
Like, even Liverpool 2 years ago, we'd have left that to a last minute Virgil van Dijk header or something. But the thing is, and this way we show drastic improvements, and there's so much to take heart from, is that we could have made that even harder. Yes, we rode our luck, but the fact that we just, second half, we come out and went, well, that's not going to get any harder. Let's see if we can make it a bit harder for them. And then not just making it difficult, literally going and killing the tie off with not one goal, but fucking two goals beyond all doubt and reason with a comfortable amount of time left on the clock.
Mate.
Amazing.
It's unbelievable. And listen, I read a really interesting piece by Sam Maguire. I know he's a subscriber to the website. I'm not sure if he listens to the podcast, but he did something about like the tactical tweak that Jürgen makes, and how everybody thinks Jürgen Klopp is just this man motivator type of a manager. And he thought that it was our ability to pick up on when Fernandinho was transitioning from defence to midfield that won us the game last night. It was a really, really interesting piece. It's on Football Whispers. Go and check it out. And it was about making sure that when Fernandinho decided to transition from centre-back to defence midfielder, this is how we get the first goal. He steps out and then we play the ball in, and it's absolutely brilliant. And Jürgen Klopp makes changes during games and nobody really picks up on them, mm-hmm. apart from maybe Liverpool fans, because we obviously watch it. So people from the outside looking in can say, oh, look, you know, Pep Guardiola this and Pep Guardiola that, and Klopp just wrings the most out of these players. He's just so much more than that, and this team is so much more than just the counter-attacking side. This team is so much more than just three forward players. This is a team.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's interesting. We've got a few tweets that come in, and one of them is mentioned. I asked people to send in topics, questions, or just favourite moments from last night, and LFC Connecticut actually says, Klopp's adjustment, moving Salah up front first half. Clear, Genie shot back to life after half-time. Robbo and Trent. We haven't talked about Robertson. Let's do that next. City fans beating up an LFC fan in the stands. Yeah, I know. It was that. That's the thing I don't like to see from the footy, if I'm perfectly honest. Hopefully that doesn't get dragged up too badly. Sadio Mane underrated, always appreciated, did well to keep his self-control while being shoved. Yeah, as mentioned earlier. Andy Robertson, we've talked on the final way, we talked extensively about Trent Alexander-Arnold. We talked about Genie Wijnaldum. We talked about James Milner. We talked about the centre-halves. We've now just covered the goalkeeper. We've talked about Salah. But Andy Robertson is literally, and maybe to some extent Oxlade Chamberlain, is the only player that we haven't talked about. We had a brief conversation about Oxlade Chamberlain. I thought he was fine, but I don't think his performance was so great that it warrants a massive discussion. But Andy Robertson, Chris, I thought, again, and we're going to have to stop saying this soon, probably next season, there's the £8.5 million from relegated Hull, Scottish lad, when, let's be honest, with the greatest of respect to the country of Scotland, which is a tremendous country. Its football team has been dire for a very long time, and its quality of football has been dire for a long time. There were moments in that game, in a massive crunch Champions League game, and I think it'll be underwritten a touch outside of Liverpool because it's the Premier League clash. If that was Real Madrid, and it might well yet be between now and May, that he puts that performance in against, people would be absolutely lauding it. The confidence, the talent, the determination. He possessed everything that Liverpool needed at both ends of the pitch.
Yeah, he did. And for me, it was all of those things, plus his understanding of when to go and when to stay. And I think I'm right in saying, was Moreno's mistake against Arsenal at the beginning of last season from one of those transitions where he ran forwards too early?
Yeah, it goes to Wijnaldum and Lallana and it breaks down in the midfield and
Moreno's too
gone. Far up the pitch, yeah.
And Robertson doesn't make those mistakes, and that's the difference. He's a great tackler of the ball, he's got heart, he's got determination, he can whip a good ball, and we know all about his engine. But you're not talking about the brain.
Yeah,
and nobody's talking about his brain, and his understanding and his positioning is absolutely second to none at the moment. And, you know, I don't know whether that's because he's got Virgil van Dijk. I saw an interesting tweet from Matt Ladsden from This Is Anfield saying, I wonder what happens to Robertson if Moreno doesn't get injured in December. That got me thinking about it. But Robertson's brilliant across the board.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Interestingly enough, before we crack on, I want to take a few more tweets from people and talk a little bit about Liverpool's potential opponents in the semi-final. But Chris was lucky enough to sit down with Jamie Carragher this week.
Yeah, I was.
The man, the legend, back in front of camera exclusively for us, which was great to see. And he actually talked about the full-back stuff, which I thought was really interesting. It's going to be a subscriber-exclusive show.
It is.
Very much highly recommend it. Here's a little clip for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I just think a massive thing is fullback positions. It really is. Now, I think when you've got a defensive manager, because at the end of the day, your two centre-backs don't move, whether you've got an attacker manager or a defensive manager, people say, oh, centre-backs coming out with the ball. Maybe you've got three at the back. You don't see centre-backs maybe doing what Hansen did. You just see you do that. It doesn't really happen. I think a lot depends on your full-backs and the positions they take up. Now, when I played under Cooley, I was a full-back. I was a defensive full-back. So your defence isn't very rarely getting exposed. No one can really get in behind you. But, okay, you're not doing as much maybe going forward. That's what it is. And I think players or managers who like to play with the ball or attack, or they see their fullbacks as wingers at times, which is not a problem. I just think the big problem is when you have two fullbacks going at the same time. I think teams who concede goals, I think you could always look. I always like to look at sort of the fullback positions they take up, because I think if you have a back four and they don't really move, I don't care whether they're the best defenders in the world or the most average, you can have a good defensive record, really. But it's, the top teams have to get the balance right. You can't keep everyone back because you won't score enough goals to win what you need to do. And I just think since that Tottenham game, Liverpool and Klopp, I think we've got the perfect balance right now where we look solid, but we also look like we've scored plenty of goals.
Yeah, if you want to listen to that full interview, do go to theredmentv.com and sign up. Absolutely belted great of him to take the time out, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he was so good. Like, it's great to meet him first and foremost properly. The fact that we had sort of 25 minutes with him talking everything from like 2001 through his career to this Liverpool side, to Virgil van Dijk, Karius, what those pieces have made to this Liverpool's defence, how this team's performing and what makes a sort of elite side, and the difficulties to get the balance right between an attacking side and a defensive side. I mean, he's got insight. He's one of the best analysts in the country. And I got to sit down for 25 minutes and talk to him, and you get to listen if you want.
Doing it exclusively for the Redmen TV. We're actually going to be with Jamie Carragher again next week, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. He's doing a Ladder 23 night at the Titanic Hotel on Thursday next week. I think it's the 19th of April. All raising funds for the 23 Foundation, the firefighters charity. The foundation and the firefighters charity have come together. They're selling tickets for the event. There's raffles. There's all kinds of stuff. Dan and Farley's going to be there, comedians. Jamie Carragher's going to be telling stories. We're going to be doing a live show from there. You'll be able to see Jamie talk about what he's going to talk about. You're going to be able to see Dan and Farley. That'll be Thursday evening. Look for us to go live around anytime after 8 o'clock, and then we'll have another video where you can, if you can donate, then we'll have a link for you to donate to these two wonderful causes.
Amazing, yeah. So do keep tuned to the Redmen TV social accounts. At the Redmen TV on Twitter is always a good place if you're not following us on there. So, Chris, yes, through to the semi-finals. Glorious, glorious Liverpool. At time of recording, the second round of the quarterfinals haven't been played as yet. We know that us and Roma are in the hat. It seems likely, although, you know, yesterday it seemed likely that Barcelona would be there, that Real Madrid and Bayern Munich will be joining us in the semi-finals. I think you said Roma, is that right? That you Roma would be your choice?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, listen, I'm scared of Real Madrid in this competition. I like the story and the narrative of Klopp going back to Bayern Munich with this Liverpool side and sticking it to them. I think that would be a great story. I kind of just want to get to the final. As great a side as Roma are, and they are great because they're in the semi-finals, Paul, and they've done what they did to Barcelona, I just think they're the worst of the three.
Yeah.
It's quite honestly. Yeah. No other reason.
The thing for me is that I want to play Real Madrid because I want to play Bayern Munich and I want to play Roma, to be fair. But I'll talk through my thinking on the others. I want Real Madrid because I don't want them in the final, because I just think, particularly a side that's won a couple on the bounce. Now, the odds of them winning another one are significantly reduced, of course, because that never happens. So there's that. But it's all the people who are mainly fans of other clubs whose immediate reaction to us knocking City out was, yeah, well, insert by Real Madrid player names, Ronaldo, Bale, and Marcello, and Cruz, and Modric, and Isco will absolutely snot use everywhere, ha 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 ha. And it's like, will he though? Maybe. Maybe they will. Maybe Real Madrid will absolutely knock us senseless if we do get them at any point in the remaining competition. But I want us, we haven't had, Man City's a big test. Let's be clear on this. And I think Man City have the ability to beat Real Madrid. I think they're there or thereabouts. All the teams are there or thereabouts. But because they're that massive scalp, and because it's that big test, and because we've got that story of them just being miles better than us when we played them under Brendan Rodgers, I'm excited if we were to get Real Madrid, because I would love nothing more than to wipe the fucking smirk off Cristiano Ronaldo's face in front of millions of people watching around the world. That goes for other teams, but I think it's the most true of Real Madrid.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we've had to put up with that smirk for many, many years now, and we've had to look at it closer in the past when he was at Manchester United than he is now. But for me, and listen, Ronaldo is one of the top two players in the world and has been one of the top two players in the world for the last 10 years or whatever. Feels to me there is a change in the guard. It feels to me like Mo Salah's catching up there, and it feels to me like Mo Salah would like to wipe the smile off Ronaldo's face more than me.
Yeah.
And that says something.
And you know what I like? And I don't know whether, I don't know how the voting of it works, to be honest. And people watching might be able to set me straight on this. But could Mo Salah win the Ballon d'Or?
Yeah, he could. Of course he could.
That's one of the reasons. Messi's, you know, Messi's out of the competition.
I think he already should.
Okay.
You can look at the goals, if you want to just look at goals. And Ronaldo's got 40 at time of recording, and Salah's got 39. But Salah's doing this in a Liverpool side that are currently third, probably on to finish fourth in the Premier League, who are probably overachieving in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Ronaldo's done it at Real Madrid with everything that they've got, with a team that's completely been built around him for the last, I don't know, 8-9 years, however long he's been there. This is Salah's first season.
Yeah.
This isn't a team that's been, it might be built around him now.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the plan. Yeah, you know, Mo Salah wasn't brought in as the most expensive player in the world to build a side around for the next decade.
Yeah.
Mo Salah's done more this season than Cristiano Ronaldo has.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. For his side. I think Ronaldo is, you know, look, he had a terrible start to the season. I think he's kicked on massively. Obviously, his goal return in the second half of the season is absolutely unreal. And what a player. And that goal, the overhead kick through the week is just out of this world. That's, you know, that is as good a goal as anyone can score in football, in the history of football. But you're right, I think there's something to that. And, you know, maybe we would come unstuck, and maybe there is a part of me that just thinks if it's an easier route to the final than a Roma. But if you're only going to face Real Madrid in the final anyway, you're going to have to beat them, and then you've got the decision of, is it easier to beat them over two legs or one leg, blah 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 blah. If you want to win the Champions League, you've got to beat the best. And for me, there's that thing of, there's so much, it's just so tasty that if we got Real Madrid in the semi-finals and we could get past Real Madrid, I mean, I don't think we should fear anyone now because we got past Man City. But you're then looking at Bayern Munich or Roma in the final. And you'd be walking 10 feet taller. And not that I think Liverpool would fall foul of arrogance or overconfidence or anything like that, because I don't think they could. I think we're very well disciplined in that regard. But it would be such vindication for how we play. It would make the final so much easier for them to get people on side. Because I think, how could you not be bought in to what we're doing? If you, not just to make a European final, but to make it having beaten the champions of Portugal, the champions of England, the reigning European champions.
And the club with the biggest amount of wins in the competition ever.
Exactly.
And for probably a long time.
Yeah.
That's the case.
And I just think, what if Liverpool do that and they stride into the final, I think that's the one where, that is the route that gets Liverpool the most fans along the way as well. And people might say, what do we mean, want fans? Liverpool should be at the pinnacle of European football, and there's a knock-on effect. And whether you like it or not, I like it, because I think I want Liverpool to be the biggest club on earth. And the only way we're ever going to be able to compete with Man United and Real Madrid, etc., even though not Real Madrid because they're bankrupt by country, is to be the biggest and the best. You know what I mean? And to drive up those revenues, and revenues are driven by success and silverware and all that kind of stuff that follows it. I think if you knock Real Madrid out in the semi-finals, you are the people's club of, you know, of choice, effectively, going into the final. If you come up against Bayern Munich, the world is on our side going into that game, because you've got the fact that Klopp lost to them in the final under Dortmund. We're the sweethearts of the competition, because Bayern Munich are expected to do it, because Bayern Munich piss their league every season. I think we go into it, and I just love this crest of a wave idea of doing it. That being said, I will take absolutely fucking anything, because I'm so pleased to be there. But Bayern Munich, talk me through, spin me a yarn, Chris. We get Bayern Munich in the draw on Friday in the semi-finals. What do you feel?
I feel like we smash them.
Really?
I feel like we smash them. I do. And you might say that's naive, you might call that deluded or whatever. I don't fear anybody.
Sorry, just to clarify, this is a Liverpool podcast. We are entirely within our rights to think that Liverpool are the best thing on the face of planet Earth, to a fault.
Jürgen Klopp will be looking at it, at Arsene Wenger and Arsenal, and what they've done against Bayern Munich, and going, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And he knows...
Good, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, like, Alex... What? Tell me everything that you did, and it'll just be a big whiteboard of "do not do this," and it'll just be a checklist of everything that Arsenal did and don't do that. Yeah,
I just think that the story would be absolutely fantastic of Klopp going back to Bayern Munich. This is a coach that I think Bayern Munich want, and I think Bayern Munich might need as well, because you know, too many times over the course of maybe the last decade or maybe even more, Bayern Munich haven't been able to replicate what they do in the league when it comes to crunch time, because I don't know whether they rest on their laurels too much. I don't know whether they find it too easy in the league, but I don't think Jürgen Klopp lets them get away with that if he's their manager. No. And Jürgen Klopp will know how Bayern Munich want to play. He'll know exactly what their fans are going to be like. He'll know the areas that you need to train in. He'll know the city. He'll know all these little bits and pieces, and that'll give us a little bit of an advantage, Paul. And yeah, I just think he will get the best out of Liverpool against Bayern Munich. I actually want Real Madrid in the final, and I know that sounds mental because you're going up against the most storied European side in history. I just think we can do them over one leg. And for me, watching the way they took apart Juventus away, it was scary. Yeah. And I've seen Real Madrid do that to Brendan Rodgers' Liverpool at Anfield. Mm-hmm. Same scoreline, I think it was, actually. I'd rather face them in one leg than two. And I'd still like Liverpool to go into the final being the underdog.
Yeah.
And a massive underdog at that.
It is interesting. I think you're right also. I guess there's a degree to which Liverpool were to reach a final against Real Madrid, it would be a David versus Goliath kind of situation, which I think does favour us very much so. I just think that the problem is that with that is that Real Madrid is such a global superpower in terms of the support and all that. I don't know what.
They wouldn't sell more tickets than us.
No, I know.
We get more. Scousers get their hands on tickets everywhere, mate.
There's definitely a nice bit of synergy, I think, particularly to having Roma or Real Madrid in a European final. You know what I mean? There's more history to hark back to in that kind of regard. I would be terrified of Real Madrid in a final, honestly. I would, again, not relax is not the way, because I couldn't handle the two legs. I couldn't fill my day. My head was so filled with these matches for a quarter final of the Champions League against a local team. I'd be a wreck if we got to a final again. Like, but the, I think I could handle, because I think Liverpool, I can see a world quite easily where Liverpool beat Bayern Munich or beat Roma. It's just that Real Madrid in a European final thing is the, like, but again, makes it all sweeter if you're able to get it over the line. So yeah, interesting stuff. The best thing about this is the ability Jürgen Klopp has handed to us to dream about this. You know, we've got a couple of days now until the draw is made. We'll maybe have a few days after it's made before it becomes a real reality of what's happened. So yeah, let me know your thoughts if you're watching this on YouTube in the comments below. Who do you want most and why in the semis, and then of course when we progress to the semis in the final as well. A couple more quick tweets then before we wrap up, Chris, once they come up. Gaj Mohan says, team of Carragher's versus team of Firmino, who wins?
Well, it's, I can't see Carragher scoring many, so a team of Bobbies.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. We'll take more of your questions next week. Yeah, a little bit of a thrown together, cobbled together show this week. But yeah, absolutely incredible week. Absolutely incredible couple of weeks. I can't stress this enough. If you're watching this on YouTube and you're watching the free stuff, fair play to you. Welcome. We're glad that you do. If you want more, and if you want to help to support the stuff that goes out on YouTube, please do go to redmentv.com. Sign up. Look, we're not begging. There's plenty of content on there for you.
I'll beg. I'm not bothered.
Fuck begging. There's plenty of content there. There's the Jamie Carragher interview. I'm going to do a podcast with Andy Kelly this week, formerly of the Liverpool Echo. We have got the stats and tactics analysis of Liverpool Man City. There's like pretty much three you've done on this almost at this point. Definitely two. We have got the final word show looking back at Man City, and we've got a Reds News roundup talking about Dybala to Liverpool links and the Fellaini to Liverpool bullshit as well. So if you need more, go to redmentv.com, sign up. It's free for the first month, and then it's just £5 a month thereafter. Chris, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for listening. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.